Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song, the melody.
Welcome to Subtle Beast, everybody. I am your host, Foltz, sitting here, as always, with me, Mr. Steve Apostolopoulos. How are you doing, Steve?
Oh, I am doing good tonight, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. The weekend's almost upon us, so I'm excited, but nothing beats being here in the studio, Studio 1B, where we get to do our thing.
I know, and the majority of the time, it is a Thursday night when we're together, and man, it is a great night to be doing this. Thursdays just have such an energy to them.
They do. From the time I get up in the morning and I know that it is a podcast day, boy, I'm just jacked up all day. My creative juices are flowing. I'm spending probably 90% of the day finishing up research, taking notes, this, that, and the other thing, talking with you, texting with you a lot, and just preparing and just getting ready.
I know. I felt like I spoke with you more this week with actual voice. Normally, we do texting and articles and Messenger, but this week we actually spoke with voice.
Yeah, and what was interesting, without giving too much detail away, we talked a lot this week on the phone about topics, and we were pretty much set on one, and at the last minute abandoned, and we went the other way. So
I know. That was a wise decision. Yeah,
it was. And I like what we have in store for this week. So, but before we dive too heavily into what we're going to discuss, well, what have you been doing this week? You sound a little under the weather.
Yeah, I had, we had last weekend. I guess we've just been sick. The family got sick last week at the daycare. I noticed that one of the kids was sick, and then Jackson brought it home, and Friday night he couldn't sleep at his crib. He came over and slept with us, and he sleeps this close to you.
Oh, I know that. Believe me.
And he's just like,
yep, right in your face, or feet in the back, knees in the back.
So I pretty much gave up all hope that I wasn't going to get it.
Oh, it is what it is. I mean, even when my kids were small, and even to this day, I mean, if they're sick and they want to give me a kiss, I don't turn them down. I'm not like, no, you're sick. I'm just like, eh, going for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when a child is two, they don't have the manners or that just, he sneezed in my mouth.
Well, children in general at that age are really selfish. They really don't care what you want or anything of that nature. It's all about them.
And I was like, buddy, and I pushed his head again. I was like, you got it that way. And my wife was like, there's no point in doing that.
Nope, because he's very next time he has to sneeze, he might just seek you out.
Hey, Dad, come here, open your mouth.
Exactly. But yeah, it is what it is. My doctor told me one year that April is a big time for illness because of the changing of the seasons and how much rain we usually get this time of year, that a lot of storms bring a lot of illness in, and people get knocked down for the count. So, but
I was, my claim to fame was I didn't get sick this winter. I was like, hey, I didn't get sick this winter. You know, I'm so great. I have this huge ability not to get sick, and my immune system is so great. And here we are in spring now. You know, I made it the whole way through the winter, and then bam, springtime sickness.
Well, better than in summertime when you got something going on. And you definitely need to get well because you're going to be off to Vegas here soon. So
I told my doctor that. Yeah, my doctor didn't originally give me antibiotics. He told me to fight it out, let my body fight it out for a few days. And that didn't work at all.
I would have said, well, why am I here?
Yeah.
I could have come up with that one.
I've already been fighting it out for a few days. That's why I'm here.
Yeah. We have this thing called a copay, and I come in here to seek your medical advice, not for you to tell me to toughen it out. I didn't scrape my knee.
Right. I'm not trying to cowboy up. I came in here for antibiotics.
Yeah. So either write me a script or give me my medical records. Either way, I'm out of here with some form of piece of paper. I'll tell you that much. Well, at least you got a good 24 hours into your system of that, so you're on the mend. You'll be right as rain for the weekend.
Yeah. This is the weekend that the kids do their Easter egg hunts. Easter's coming up.
Yes, it sure is. Quickly.
And then the weekend after that is actual Easter. But this weekend coming up, there's a lot of events, a lot of Easter egg hunts, and I saw a picture with Easter Bunny at Bass Pro, and this is going to be a cool weekend.
Wow, I'm going to have to get out there. I hadn't been doing too much research on the egg hunts, and there's usually a there's usually a really good one right down the road from me. So I'm going to have to check it out, because
I took a picture of one, and I'll show it to you later. It's at the Giant in Halifax, but I guess there's a field behind the Giant.
Yeah.
So it's just like a funny thing. It says like bring your kids around back a Giant.
See you for the egg hunt.
Right. Like, all right.
That yeah, there's weird, a, but all right. I know if you go to, if you're driving down 39 here to Front Street and you make a right.
Fort Hunter. Yeah.
Fort Hunter has a great Easter egg hunt. I would assume that that's probably this weekend. So I'm going to have to look into that. So
that place is great.
If it is this weekend and you need a good Easter egg hunt to take your children to, Fort Hunter has a great one.
They have a recreational boat launch there that we took advantage of. That place is really cool.
I looked into they actually rent out their like their pavilions and such so that you can have parties or whatever you want to have there. And I was actually looking into it because it's fairly inexpensive, and then I got to the point where it said no adult beverages. So I decided not to have a party there.
I've been to a party there, and it is a no adult beverages. So,
which I find odd, because they hold a lot of beer festivals there and a lot of wine festivals there.
Well, the party that I went to, everybody, all the adults kept their beverages in a car, in their car.
Oh, okay.
And I got more adulty at that party than I usually do at any other party, because I was just like, hey, people were like, hey, you want to come to my car and have a drink?
Yeah, because you're so removed from having your drink that you're constantly running back and forth.
It's like the cars were speakeasies. I was just bouncing from car to car.
Well, not only that, you're probably drinking so much while you're in your car to make the trip back
right
so worth it. So, oh well.
I totally got busted. My parents were like, dude, are you drinking?
Like, well, yeah, I am. Dad, want to come back to the car real quick?
And I was like 35.
Your parents still coming down on you.
Dude, you're drunk.
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, I'm 40 now, and there's probably some things that I would still hide from my parents. I can't hide anything from my dad anymore. But, you know, if I was around my mom, there's probably a lot of things I wouldn't wanted to see me doing. Or
I could, yeah, if I still smoked cigarettes and my mom walked up to me while I was smoking a cigarette, I would feel awkward.
Yeah, that would probably, that would definitely be something that I would not that I ever smoked or that I smoke, but I would never want my parents to see me do that. I used to, even after I had a couple drinks, like if my parents were having a party and I would maybe had like a little buzz going on, my dad always made me feel so stupid. and I, like, he would just make comments to me and just little jabs, and finally I was like, I'm not having any beers with you anymore. So, but whatever. So, I don't know. Yeah, I didn't really have anything planned for this weekend, but I guess now my goal is seeking out Easter egg hunts. So, but you know, one thing that I am looking forward to coming up real soon is I mentioned this gentleman on a podcast a few podcasts ago when we were talking about UFOs and extraterrestrials. I like to follow this guy named Stephen Greer, and he's coming out with a movie called Unacknowledged, which I won't go into too much detail, but it's basically on the subject of UFOs and extraterrestrials and the secret government that supposedly is intertwined and within our country and things of that nature. So I'm excited about seeing about that, because, you know, that's something that, you know, somebody that doesn't like that or follow that type of information, it probably falls under conspiracy theory, which nowadays we're getting hit right and left with conspiracy theories.
It seems to be like on the news every night or every week. There's a new hot conspiracy theory out there, and
yeah, and it's just like, and they call it conspiracy theory, and it just makes it sound so. Because I mean, a lot of what were, you know, for that were actually happened or events that were true, they still call them conspiracy theory. And it's like, oh, it's not a conspiracy theory anymore.
Right. It's been proven.
Yeah.
It was a cover up that was uncovered.
Yeah. It's not even a theory. I mean,
government cover up is also another word or a cover up that kind of goes along with conspiracy theory.
Right. So the government's trying to run their agenda to get the support of the population so that they can run a separate agenda without you knowing their ultimate reasoning or goal. But so when I think of the word conspiracy theory, I would think that the number one thing that pops into my head, and probably most, would be 9/11.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many other people out there share my belief, but I'm not convinced at all that men who lived in caves most of their lives and guys that could barely fly a small Cessna were able to hijack 747s or bigger, pull off some of these right turns, some of these speeds they did, crash into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. Maybe the only one that I could believe was the one that crashed directly into the ground.
Because that field in Pennsylvania.
Right. I'm just not buying it. But before I say any more, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, man, I'm a fan of natural progression. I'm a fan of like the game show Survivor. I'm a fan of sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. Could that have happened? I don't know necessarily how easy it is to fly one of those big planes. If it's just a steering wheel and I can make the turn and I'm looking in front of me and it's the biggest building in the sky and I'm like, all right, all I got to do is run into that.
But see, that's the thing. There's been a lot of pilots that have been interviewed, and these planes took off from Boston. So when they hijacked these planes, they were, and the reason they took these planes is because they, well, supposedly, that they were so highly fueled because they were going to the West Coast. Now, if you're a commercial airline pilot, you're basically there for just in case. I mean, these planes basically fly themselves these days. So for these hijackers with their box cutters to get in there, turn off the navigation system, take the helm, and then be able to read these radars and maps and everything from Boston to New York City, and then locate these towers and, you know, drop in height and hit with just accuracy. I mean, if these guys did this, I mean, it was the best planning, and nothing seemed to go. And I, you know, and that's what leads me to believe about that one in Pittsburgh. They couldn't have pulled off all, because people were like, oh, come on, they pulled off all of them. There had to be one, I think, that went rogue and that they weren't able to pull off. But
they said that one was going for the White House.
Yeah, that one was on its way to the White House or the Capitol. Well, back to what I was saying, some pilots were saying that they interviewed the instructors that these guys supposedly took flight lessons from, and they said their knowledge of a Cessna, which is probably the easiest plane in the world to fly, that these guys had a hard time even controlling the plane. They had no skill in landing, which I guess they wouldn't have had to have had any skill in landing, because they were never going to land, but they said there was absolutely no way, with how bad they were at flying a Cessna, that they could have controlled a huge commercial airline like that. And they said that there is absolutely no way that the drop in altitude and speed that they were going, there's absolutely no way they could have hit the target of the Pentagon. No way. These are professional pilots, ex-fighter pilots.
Yeah, the Pentagon, That one was the toughest one because you get to see the angle that they came in at, and it was like, you know, 3 feet off the ground.
Well, we're talking about one of the most secured buildings in our country, and that's the best angle, and that's the video that we have of this flash of light hitting. And I've seen this video, and I've seen it in slow motion, and I've even slowed it down even more. At no point do I see, and I mean, and the hole that was put in it, no impact from the wings. I guess they said that some material is recovered at the site, but I didn't see any part of a plane. And the one that went down in Pittsburgh, near Pittsburgh, they were saying that it hit with such force and such an explosion that everything just burned up. Not metal.
Yeah.
Not bone.
Right.
There was like no remains found, and everyone was just like, okay, well, the plane crashed. It just burned up. So
big plane crash.
But, you know, my theory is that people within our government, I don't know if it's a black project or not. I'm not saying who was made aware on what level, but I believe it was our government's attempt to rally the American people so that we could get into Iraq to track down these weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist and were never found, and to basically take control of the country and take control of the oil. I mean, that's what it comes down to for me.
Yeah, it's got to come down to the oil money.
Absolutely. And I mean, I've studied this topic on so many levels and for so many hours, and the evidence to me is just all pointing to that there was no terrorist involved. Because what they also said when they played a video of Osama bin Laden taking claim for the attack, they said that the translation they put out, he's not saying that at all. As a matter of fact, he's saying the complete opposite. So, I mean, and there's not a whole lot of people in our country that speaks, I don't even know what language it would be. Arabic?
Shiite?
Yeah, Shiite, Arabic, I don't know, but everyone just took it for what it was. Oh, that's what he said? Okay, great. So, I mean, now, granted, I do recall that day and how terrible it was, and the outcry of support for, well, I'll always have support for our troops, no matter what, because they didn't ask to be sent in there, so obviously they're going in to do their job, and God bless them every day. But people were just lining up to go, and people were being turned away and being said, go home and think about this. I mean, this is how passionate people were about it. And if it ever does come out that it was a false flag, I can't imagine what the response is going to be across this country. But I think a lot of people have that view.
Right. A lot of folks that were there, the first responders, gave their lives. There was a bunch of 3,000 innocent lives lost that day. And then the toll continued on because the first responders had breathed in chemicals that eventually gave them diseases.
Yeah, yeah, all kinds of crazy. And people, I mean, just some of the deaths that took, some people were hit with some of the fuel from the planes and just completely burned them. But see, that's the thing. Now, they were saying that the plane that went down in Pittsburgh, which was almost an identical plane, that nothing could be found. And then the one plane that hit one of the towers, which completely exploded, and in the same fashion, I mean, it hit a building, not a plane, or not the ground. It hit steel, which would be tougher. But supposedly they found the passport of one of the hijackers. Come on. I mean,
really?
I was born at night, but not last night.
How did that happen?
Yeah. So that paper
in the rubble?
Yeah, it just didn't. And some other things that they're saying that they did tests on too was back in 2001, we were in the infancy of our cell phones. I mean, we didn't really have the technology we have now, like iPhones. We basically had like the big Nokia bricks and maybe a flip phone. And they did tests with the types of cell phones we had then, taking a plane up to its cruising altitude and even below, and trying to make phone calls, and they wouldn't go through. And the reason they're saying is the plane was traveling 500-600 miles an hour, and those phones back then, they're constantly pinging. So by the time that they would make a connection, with whoever they're trying to call, bang, it's on to the next tower. And they said there's no way they could have held these couple minute conversations saying goodbye to their families and things that there's just too much evidence. And the firefighters saying, and of course they never played this news broadcast again, about all the explosions that they could hear from inside the building, all the popping. And if you watch some of the videos slowly before the towers come down, you can see windows blowing out, you can see smoke, and then as each level comes down, you can see another little explosion and windows blow out, helping me get, and it's basically been proven mathematically that the way that those buildings fell was due to help from explosions. And don't even get me started on building number 7, which wasn't even hit, and that fell to the ground. And it it had a little fire? Not buying it, Steve.
And that is the essence of a conspiracy theory.
Absolutely. And that's just one of the greats that we have going on today. I know we've discussed in pre-show some in length. You got one you want to share?
Oh, the one that kills me is AIDS. I mean,
AIDS, yeah.
Come on.
Right.
AIDS. That had to have been a government creation.
Well, they blamed it on, in the 80s, they were blaming it on the chimpanzee.
Right. It was like
it was supposedly a strictly African disease, like from the continent of Africa.
Right. And then somehow it got transferred from chimps to,
then they were saying only homosexuals could get it.
Right. And then there was needle users. And
now, we're not saying that we don't believe AIDS exists.
I believe in AIDS, and I feel horrible for anybody that has any contact with it.
We're saying that the actual disease, as a conspiracy theory as a whole, we believe was concocted by our government, just like Lyme disease was. I mean, you can research that in full. We won't get into that one because that's not on our topic, but look up Lyme disease. There was a town called Lyme, Connecticut. Check it out. But as far as AIDS, well, what about Magic Johnson?
Yeah.
It was the hugest thing in the news. I forget what year, but late 80s, early 90s, he contracted the AIDS virus, and then
he resigned from basketball because they were afraid, because if you bled.
Yep, exactly.
They were afraid he was going to get cut on the court, and that they would have trouble cleaning it up, or that it could get transferred to somebody else. So he retired.
Right.
And
he looks healthier than you and I right now.
I don't think he ever came out and said, you know, it's gone.
Yeah, but
he's still like, I mean,
AIDS,
that was,
AIDS is pretty much was, and back then it was a death sentence. I mean, I don't know how far the drugs have come now as far as that disease.
That was 30 years ago.
That was 30 years. He went on a trip to Europe, supposedly, right. Came back, and they never mentioned Magic Johnson with AIDS again.
He owns the Lakers now.
Yeah. I mean, I just saw him on TV the other night. I mean, during the Four. And it's just, I don't know. I'm not buying that.
That one kills me.
Yeah. I think that probably goes down with, if you say conspiracy with AIDS. I don't think that you can't mention Magic Johnson. And
right. I don't think you can mention a conspiracy about AIDS without talking about Magic. Because that's kind of, and I wasn't even thinking about that part of it, but that kind of like brings it all home.
Sure. It's like, wait, well, was he part of it then to try and sell this? Because if I'm a journalist for a major media company and I'm talking to Magic Johnson about anything, I'm going to slide in. How's the AIDS? I mean, not to be rude or anything, but I mean, come on. If you
look great, Magic.
You look great. What type of treatment are you getting so that possibly we can get this out to the masses? And where did you go in Europe? What doctor did you see? What facility? And how much did it cost you?
He's going to say, you're never allowed back in the center. Oh, whatever.
You're going to see the TV screen turn to snow.
Right.
You're never going to hear from that news reporter again. And they're going to say that wasn't one of their regular broadcast members. Somebody infiltrated.
That seems to be the stereotype of what happens to someone when they whistleblow. Or when they discuss like a hot topic that's a conspiracy theory, is that suddenly they, you know, their car veered off the road and they went in the river. Or,
yep.
they fell out of a huge apartment complex, out of their apartment or something.
Yeah, and everyone's just like, yeah, well, guess he died.
Yeah, guess that person just accidentally fell out of their apartment.
I think that's what kills me the most with some of these conspiracy theories, is just if the media tells you that this is what it is, that everyone's just like, all right, well.
Did you just eat one of those?
I didn't. I was about to, but I didn't, because
I've never seen you eat one of those.
Are you kidding?
Before.
I eat these all the time. I have these little candy jars here in the studio by all my equipment and stuff, and snow caps. I have two big things of snow caps, one of my favorite candies, and I eat them all the time while we're in here.
I think that's a conspiracy theory, because it just shocked me when I... It's almost empty.
It's almost gone. Yeah, I always grab them and see how much Steve pays attention to me, but that's a conspiracy theory in itself.
I'm looking off into space. I'm, you know, thinking about what I'm about to talk about.
Deep thoughts by Steve Apostolopoulos.
Yeah, Fultz is eating snow caps over here. I'm talking.
Yep. That's another one.
So you got one?
Yeah, I do. And this one has been bothering me for a while, is the RFID chips.
Oh, yes.
Supposedly they want to, our government would like to see all Americans with an RFID chip implanted in us, which controls your finances. It has your identification.
Medical.
Yeah, you can start your car. Well, we were watching a video in pre-show. Some guy was opening doors, and he was trying to open up these apps on his phone. And the reason we came to this video was because of some information that I'd seen within the past week about how on board Australia is with these RFID chips. And I watched an interview... a pretty lengthy interview with a guy named Aaron Russo. So if you Google Aaron Russo and just type in Aaron Russo RFID chip, it'll come up. But he was really good friends with members of the Rockefeller family. And basically, Rockefeller told him about 9/11. He didn't go into detail, but he told him information about 9/11 8 months before it happened. He said, there's going to be this event, and this event is going to get us into Iraq. And then after that, our next big goal is going to be to put these chips in everybody. And lo and behold, you know, after the war started to die down, we started to hear about these RFID chips. And I'm against them in any way. I mean, they might sound cool, and you might be like, oh, I'm technical, or, you know, I'm half robot or whatever. But my concern with them is, okay, let's say you do something that really makes the government angry. They push a button, and no longer do you have any access to any of your money, anything. And if it's connected to you in any type of medical way, give this guy a heart attack.
Right. I mean, you could essentially just go from green to red, and, you know, with red, you know, the person can't do anything. And the thing with the RFID chips for me was that the government had tried in so many ways to do it, and they could not infiltrate the human body. So they put them in our credit cards.
Yeah. Excellent point. Yeah. So they couldn't get us to go along with that, because I guess it would probably be like, I don't know, it'd look like something terrible. Line these people up and start chipping them like animals.
Right, how are you going to sell that? How are you going to make it seem like that's okay?
Well, and for a lot of religious people out there, that can come across as the mark of the beast or Satan. And as it states in the Bible, I'm not going to go too much into that, but there's a lot of religion that goes hand in hand with RFID chips. And
so they beat us. They said, we know how you Americans work.
Yeah.
You don't go anywhere without your cell phone. You don't go anywhere without your credit card.
Yeah, and then they took it one step further. Okay, well, let's just say that people don't want to have a whole lot of debt, so they're not going to go with the credit card. They'll put it in their debit card.
Right.
And, I mean, as much as I always say cash is king, everyone's got their debit card or credit card on it.
Yeah.
They know what you're doing, where you're at, where you're spending your money. They're selling that information. Well, who knows what these chips can do? I mean, if you pay your copay at the doctor's office, well, now they probably have access to your medical records. They know, oh, this guy's sick today, and this is what he's taking. And
So. Yeah, I just there was a law that went into effect last week that said that browsers are now allowed to sell your user history.
Yeah, and that's just I don't know. I mean, I'm not too concerned with it. I mean, it doesn't bother me too much. I mean, now granted, it is an invasion of privacy, but what I mean, what are they going to see? He's looking at the weekly flyer at Target, or I mean, I don't.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. It's not. I don't think that it's incriminating in any way, but it is like it's odd. This is what it bothers me, because I see it now. Like I'll look at something. Say it's at Walmart. I like Walmart.com. So does Jackson.
Right.
And say I look at a new. We just looked at pants. Say we're looking at the pants. I'll leave Walmart.com. I'll go on to Facebook, and somehow the pan is I'm looking at it on my screen again.
I don't know if I told this story on our podcast or if I was just telling you in general about a time that I went into a Dick's Sporting Goods, and I was looking for a pair of gloves, and I wasn't touching them. I wasn't looking at them until this pair caught my eye. So I picked them up. I was looking at them. I was like, oh, these look cool. So I was about to try them on, and I looked at the tag, and it said youth gloves on them. So I was like, oh, they're youth. So I put them down, and then I was like, you know what? I really don't need gloves. So I walked away, and I went to a different department, and then ended up leaving the store. The next day, I got an email from Dick's that said, oh, we see you're interested in our youth gloves.
What?
I swear I put my right hand on the Bible, and I was telling my wife about it, and she was like, well, do you think it was maybe through your cell phone or, I don't know, or this chip or something, or the cameras in the store or something? But all I did was look at these gloves, notice that they were a mistake, put them down, and the very next day, and I never looked at them online.
It was the mistake that made it stand out so much to you when you saw the email. Because you were,
exactly.
Like, you're not going to try on youth gloves.
No.
If they were men's gloves, maybe you could have called it a coincidence. But exactly. That mistake made it so unique. The yep. fact that they thought you were interested in youth gloves. Or that would be like, oh, we see you're interested in lady size medium gloves.
Right, exactly. So like, I mean,
no, I don't want youth gloves. That's why I put them down in your store.
Yeah, it was so far off the beaten path.
I've never heard of that before.
So I didn't tell you that story. So then I must not have mentioned it on the podcast. I've told a couple friends of mine, and some of them are big conspiracy theorists, and that just blew their minds. And you know,
well, yeah, what bothers me is that it takes away your freedom to look at other things. Like, if you're getting the suggested thing pushed into your face, instead of looking at a whole aisle full of different products, they're just suggesting this one product based upon the information that they can gather and put into some algorithm that they think is the best thing for you. But I want to pick out the best thing for me. I don't want you to tell me what the best thing for me is. I want to pick out the best thing for me. I don't want some algorithm to be like, well, this pan right here is probably the best one for you. I don't want you to do that. I want to do that.
Well, and I totally agree. And there's one thing that I can't stand is high pressure sales. So if I ever get put into a position, so if they keep flooding me with that, not only am I not going to buy your product, I'm probably not going to even shop with your company. My wife and I were at the Home Builders Show in Harrisburg recently, and we went in there just excited to look at all the different possibilities, you know, the things that we could do to our house. And the people that they put in for this particular show were probably the biggest shark salesmen in each individual company. I mean, it got to the point where I turned to my wife and I said, I'm so uncomfortable, let's just leave. I mean, you were walking down and people were just trying to stop you and they were trying to shove this down your throat. And it's just like, if I see something and it interests me, I'll stop and I'll check it out. And it got to the point where then we started to seem like the rude ones. Because guys, there was this group of sales guys all working for the same company, and they were like, hey, oh, this one guy said free hugs, and me and my wife just kept walking. And then I heard him say to him, he said something about me negative to his friends, and lucky for him, I was with my wife, because it probably would have got ugly. But I was like, it's not even worth it. Just keep walking. We already decided we're going to walk out. But yeah, I don't like high pressure sales. So I don't think that that's going to be the right route for a lot of people.
Right. The suggested selling is convenient, but not really for me. And it kind of is offensive. It's definitely intrusive.
It is. Imagine, on our, we even have on our front door, no soliciting, because we used to get hit like daily, especially in the summertime. People coming around trying to sell this, that, and the other thing. And ever since we put the sign up, we haven't been bothered. So if you get hit with a lot of solicitors, just put up a no soliciting sign. It works like magic. So
we did, when we were in Paxtonia, we got hit with traveling meat salesman.
Right, yeah.
That one struck me as odd.
Yeah.
The guy's like, come on, man, it's the end of the day. I'll make you some deals. And I was like, I'm not buying meat out of a truck, you know, for a deal at the end of the day.
Yeah, and he probably started his day with, you're my first customer of the day.
Right.
Got a great deal for you.
I want to unload.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure the meat's fine, but I don't know, meat from a truck.
Yeah, he doesn't know that the Carnes is right down the street.
Right, and that's basically as fresh and local as you can get.
Right.
And I don't want your package. I might just want just all these particular steaks or this, that, and the other thing. It's just like, I enjoy going to the grocery store because I get out. I don't need all this convenience anymore. There's too much stuff being shipped to the house.
Dude, I think that we have to talk about the Snowden thing.
Oh, definitely.
Because that was something that you called, or we spoke, and you had asked me if I had seen the movie, and I said no. But
fantastic
then
movie.
I specifically said to my wife, Foltz suggested Snowden. And then when we got it and watched it, it was right up our alley.
Absolutely. If you have not seen Snowden, or for any reason, if you thought, oh, maybe it's going to be boring, because when it first came out, I was like, eh, I don't know, Snowden. But then I watched it, and I was blown away.
Yeah.
You have no idea what our government is, number one, capable of, and number two, what they're actually doing.
What they're actually doing. The NSA leak, it hit mainstream media, and like everything else, you know,
no one cared.
Flash in the pan, fizzled away, and everybody moved on with their normal life like nothing happened.
Yeah. I mean, if you are just sitting somewhere with your cell phone, I don't care if it's a burner phone, they're listening to you. They can watch you through the camera or through your laptop. Or through your iPad. Or in your living room,
through your smart TV. Any microphone, they can turn on at any time. Any camera, they can turn on at any time. And they monitor and listen for hot words all the time.
Yeah. It was funny. In the movie, they were searching for certain words. And I forget what words they were, but it turned out to just be some guy trying to pick up a girl or something of that nature. And he was using one of the words of one of the ex-presidents, and then they figured out he was just talking about a girl. But, yeah, so they're just pinging on in there. They're just algorithms of different words. And if you mention the president and happen to then say, I think that girl's the bomb, they're going to zero in on you, and they're going to be listening to you for a good while. And you don't know. Then you're walking down the street and you just think it's regular people out for a walk, but you're probably being surveilled by, who knows, it could be an assassin. I mean, it happened in Snowden.
Right, right. Yeah, so, I mean, granted he was an NSA agent, but they exposed, what he did was expose the capabilities of black ops government agencies.
Yeah, and he gave up. I mean, what he did for us, just to know that, for us to just blow it off like we did when it was exposed in the media, is such a slap in the face to this guy, because he went above and he gave up all of his freedoms and everything that he loved. I mean, he loved America. He can't ever come back here. He's going to be tried for treason.
Yeah.
So now basically he's always living in an undisclosed location.
He's got political solvency in Russia.
Right. Yep.
Right.
And so, but we blow it off because Samsung's coming out with the next big phone, or
got the S8.
Yeah, and
got the new iPhone coming out.
Oh, you know the NSA can be listening to that. But it's cool though. Well, you know, Snowden gave up a lot. Yeah, but did you see the new apps you can get? You can write with this one. And
it's got curved edges.
I mean, I'm guilty of it. I'm not trying to say that I'm not, but I talk about this issue quite a bit, and I'm definitely never going to forget what Snowden did. And I am a person that when I'm done with my laptop at home, I put it down, because I don't need them checking in on me or watching me or... But it doesn't matter, because of my smart TV, if they want to, then bang, just turn on that. I mean,
there has been times where I've felt awkward. Somebody's watching.
Yeah.
But there has been times where, what was it? The Kinect used to bother me.
Yeah.
For some reason, like we'd be playing bowling, and then we'd get done, and we'd be online, and like, there's a little chime that comes on when like one of the kids' friends like joins, and I would hear it like hours later, and I'd be like, man, they didn't turn that off. Like, this thing's online right now. This camera's online.
Well, did you see the videos out there right now with that that new Alexa product? People are saying, Alexa, and she'll answer every question. Alexa, do you work for the NSA or for whatever company? And she doesn't answer.
Yeah.
And then they ask another question of just random, and she'll answer, and they'll say, Alexa, do you work for the NSA? And she won't answer. And it's not just one particular person. I've watched several videos, and she's answering every question, and then it comes down to, Alexa, do you work for the CIA? Do you work at the Pentagon, or do you work for people in the Pentagon? And she won't answer the question. I mean, what does that tell you?
Anytime a new assistant, like Siri was doing that, not to that regard, but there was like little Siri tricks. Like, you could ask Siri certain questions and she would answer them in weird ways.
Yeah, you could say, Siri, where can I hide this dead body? Yeah. She'd give you locations of like garbage dumps and stuff like that. Just as a joke, but there's something out there now that's pretty funny that you can ask her, and she goes into this really in-depth answer. It's really funny. I forget if you ask her something like, what's 0 divided by 0?
Right.
She goes into this big mathematical or funny something or other. I don't know, but I've done it a couple times. Pretty funny.
There was one, it was a navigate to London, and she said, like, go to the East Coast, now build a big wooden ship.
See, that and stuff like that's funny.
Right.
But it seems now all they're trying to do is get more into your house.
No, we just had April Fools, and Google Maps had the ability to play Mrs. Pac-Man. That was
no kidding?
Yeah, that was what their April Fool's joke was. And they had done it in 2015 with regular Pac-Man, but they revisited this year. And
that's cool.
They made it the ability to play Mrs. Pac-Man on the Google Maps.
I like that. I think April Fool's was kind of messing with me this year, because I kept forgetting, and I was seeing these news articles, and I was like, what? And I was just thinking, oh. But
we had no creativity for April Fool's. Jalen was with us, too, and he's our little jokester. But I don't know. We just...
My girls always look forward to it every year, and I don't know. I don't think this was the year that... I think everyone's just been overly exhausted this past year from everything that's we've been dealing with, that April Fool's came, and everyone's just been like, huh.
No joke.
Yeah. So, yeah. So... But yeah, so we have that one. You know what? I don't think that we can mention conspiracy theories without mentioning JFK.
Yeah, that one. I thought that was one that you were going to say was one of the most famous of all times. That one, in my mind, when I think of old school conspiracy theories, as opposed to a lot of the new things that we have just talked about, that one was like one of the originators, the grassy knoll.
Right.
I mean, growing up, we all kind of like knew the ins and outs of that
one. Well, it was on Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. He was like, I was the second gunman on the grassy knoll. And
so like that one is just the ultimate claim to fame when it comes to conspiracy theories.
It is. And from what I've heard over the years is that they actually do know why, and that the information has been sealed until anybody that would really even care about JFK. So I guess people in our generation are gone, that's when they're going to release the truth. I don't know if even that's true, but that's what I've heard. But there's so many different theories as to why people think he was going to be assassinated. It goes as far as saying that he wanted to shut down the CIA, so the CIA had him killed. Or the mafia had, or the CIA had the mafia do it, or Fidel Castro had something to do with him being killed. Or there was even one that I heard that JFK he had information about UFOs and extraterrestrials, and that when he was dating Marilyn Monroe, he had told her that information. And well, it doesn't have to do with him being assassinated, but this has to do with Marilyn Monroe, and that when he called things off with her, she was on the phone with his brother and saying, well, if he doesn't get back together with me and start seeing me again, I'm going to release this information that he had told me about, you know, UFOs and extraterrestrials. And then within the next day or so, she had overdosed. So that's related to JFK, but
right. Yeah. The old overdose, man, that seems like another one, you know?
Yeah. Cause I mean, anybody can force you to do, if you ever saw the movie, Shooter with Marky Mark, when they kidnapped that one FBI agent and they put that contraption on him that bends his arm towards his head to make it look like he shot himself. And Marky Mark is like, you know, what sick person would think this up? And they're like, this isn't the first time we used it. They're like, we even wrote a real touchy suicide note, too, in his handwriting. So, but yeah, JFK, my dad, being a history teacher and a huge history buff, he used to talk about it a lot. And he told me a couple different stories one time. He said that, that he had read this book on JFK and the assassination, and that somebody had some evidence of there being another shooter because of a direction that a bullet came and it hit the concrete or the curb where they were standing. So they reported it to authorities, but when they came back the next day, that had already been paved over. So there was no evidence of the bullet shot there. And another story in the book was that a prostitute was hitchhiking, and a car full of three guys picked her up and given her a ride somewhere. And she asked what these guys were doing, and they said to her, well, we can't really tell you what we're doing, but you're going to hear about it tomorrow in the newspapers, and it's going to be everywhere. Well, she went to the authorities the next day to report these guys, and you know, her credibility was a little shot down because she was a prostitute. Next day, she was found dead.
I mean, I wouldn't shoot her credibility down because she's a prostitute. She's got eyes, you know, she can see.
Yeah, I mean, that would make it seem even more believable because
she's on the street.
Yeah, I was hitchhiking and I met these guys. And, you know, you'd think that they would take, well, I guess even if they wanted to revisit her later, they couldn't. That's why they had her killed. They're like, well, she's a person. She's got credibility. We got to shoot her down.
Yep. Death is permanent. That's the one thing, man.
Absolutely. So, I don't know. I mean, do you have anything else on JFK that you wanted to add to that?
There was that sick series on Netflix. Did you get to watch any of that?
I didn't yet.
Oh, man. It's just numbers. It's like something .25, and it shows... What is the shooter's name?
Which shooter?
The person that was locked up for JFK's assassination.
Oh, Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah, they show him for like weeks beforehand meeting with all these people. Netflix has a cool series out there on JFK's
similar like that
assassination. That one was pretty cool, but other than that, I really don't have a lot of exposure to it.
But it needed mention because it's definitely one of the bigger ones. Let's touch on one more. I'm thinking, now this one, as much as I really am interested in conspiracy theories, and I tend to believe a lot of them, this one I don't so much is the conspiracy theory that we never landed on the moon.
Oh, yeah, that one, you know what? That one is the same time period, you know, 60s.
Yeah. I mean,
how did they get off saying we didn't land on the moon?
Well, it came from that there was a huge space race at the time between the United States, Russia, and China. And the Russians had already developed Sputnik. And I guess they had sent it into orbit, and the Russians were all ready to go and to go to the moon. Well, I guess it coincidentally, you know, we had our rocket ready to go too, and we wanted to win the space race, so we launched it and we went to the moon. Now, what's crazy is, and here's just a little stat, was that the computer on board to send the astronauts to Mars is not as powerful as the cell phone that we carry on a daily basis. That's scary.
Yeah, it is.
But so, yeah, so people were saying that we faked the moon landing, and all the footage was done within a studio somewhere. And the reason that we did that was just so that we could claim that we were there first. But obviously, I guess if you would ask any Russian cosmonaut, well, when you went up to the moon, was the American flag there? was the plaque that we had put there saying we are from the planet Earth and we come in peace? Was that there? I mean, it could be very easily. I don't know. I believe we went to the moon. I'm not buying into that one. Now, I'm not saying that our government wouldn't do something like that, but I don't know. Like, I look at Buzz Aldrin and some of these astronauts. I mean, they're heroes in my mind.
It would be cool to as a like a high school science experiment, though, go to a large telescope and actually
see, if you could see it,
see that American flag on the moon,
right? Or even be able to see the footprints, because apparently they're there forever.
Or the we left the rover there. Like,
well, we dropped what we did with the rover was when they were heading back to Earth, we dropped the rover onto, I guess they took it somehow, and or we had, I don't know exactly what took place, but they dropped the rover onto the surface of the moon so that they could listen to the density of the moon. And one of the things that they were baffled by was on the first rover that they dropped, that the moon rang like a bell for 3 or 4 hours, and then people were starting to say, well, we think that the moon could possibly be hollow. So the next time that they went to the moon, they dropped an even larger, it was either a larger rover or a larger something else, and when they did that, the moon rang for over 12 hours. So they don't really know, and a lot of people were saying that they think the moon's hollow because of all the craters on the moon that are hit from meteors, they all just go to a certain depth and then stop. And people are saying, well, we think it's hollow and that on the inside, it's like there's metal encasing it, and that the moon itself is actually like a space station, like the Death Star. So that's another conspiracy theory, is that the moon has bases on it. And that the moon itself is a base. And a lot of people say that after that short period of time from visiting the moon, well, why didn't we ever go back? And people were saying, well, because of the bases that were there, that there was some types of ETs that warned the astronauts, don't come back, because the human race hasn't evolved yet for any type of interstellar space, and not even as close to the moon. So, but, and see, those are the things that I like, and I like hearing about the fact that there's bases on the moon and that the astronauts were warned off. So that's where a lot of my belief comes from, that I believe that we went to the moon, was from other conspiracy theories.
you get the best of both worlds.
Exactly. So, so yeah, I thought that I would just add that in there. But
no, that's great, man.
Yeah. So I think we hit a lot of good ones there. There are tons more. I mean, if you look them up, I mean, the list could go on. We could possibly be here all night, but just wanted to hit on a few and share them with you, and also see what your guys' thoughts are. What do you think on these conspiracy theories? Do you buy into them, or do you have different theories from what we mentioned? we'd love to hear what your thoughts are on that. So when you listen to this podcast and go out, if you would please go out to our Facebook page and on the spot provided, let us know what you thought of some of the conspiracy theories that we shared, whether you buy into them, whether you don't. Please share this podcast with your family and friends. We're on iTunes, we're on Google Play, we're on Podbean. We're hoping to, in the near future, to be on YouTube, to have a YouTube channel so you can actually see us here in the studio doing our podcast. We're looking forward to that. And from whatever, however you listen to us, if you would go out and give us a great rating and tell us what you think of the podcast, that helps us in so many ways.
Yeah, so if you have a favorite conspiracy theory that we didn't hit, then list it up on Facebook, and we're going to provide a link so that all you need to do is click on that link, and it'll take you right to our show. And if you haven't checked out some of the past shows, we've had some fantastic shows. The Mandela Effect show was fantastic, and there's 17, 18, 19, 20 shows. So
yeah, we got a handful out there. So you know, go out there when you got a long drive ahead of you, or if you're just chilling, go out and give them all a listen. Well, I mean, we cover an array of different topics that that span from the unknown to just everyday different topics, and we like it. We hope you do too. We're gonna be here for a long time, having fun with you guys. So just spread the word, and let's keep this conversation going.
All right, man.
So, yeah. So, I guess we'll check you out next time. And until next time, I'm Foltz.
And I'm Steve.
And we'll see you next time. Take care of one another. Bye-bye.